Glory to God. Well, I tell you what, if you don't know God is good, then you evidently have already gone on. Because God is good in everything he does. Today's message, we'll see where all we do hit with it today. But, you know, we all wake up and stuff in our life, right? There's not a person in here who doesn't wake up one day and say, where'd this garbage come from? And even when you're prepared to empty the garbage, sometimes you find a little more garbage than you were banking on. You know, really smelly stuff. You just deal with it, right? I'm here to tell you, folks, God has not abandoned us. He's not left us orphaned like orphans. So don't think that God has betrayed you. He has left you. He hasn't. He's right there with you. But God happens to know you're a little stronger than you think you are. I'm here to tell you that. Some of you, I don't know if I can take it anymore. Trust me, you can take 1,000 times more than you think you can. I've seen people that have dealt with stuff and look back and say, how did they stand upright? I think it was Vicky, they were talking about that young man with that choir. He watched his family be murdered. I told Angela, I said, man, I said, that would be hard. He hunted the men down eventually to forgive them, to tell them that he forgave them. Not to kill them, though the one was already dead, but to tell them that he forgave them. How many of us could say we could do that? By the way, he was a little boy. Grew up in an orphanage. That's rough. But yet now, because of the power of God, he can go around telling people about what God has done for him. So I'm here to tell you, you're stronger than you think you are. You hold on. There's no greater name than the name of Jesus. Well, all I can do is pray. I hope today that when I'm done, you say, yeah, I can pray. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, let's bless the tithe and offering, shall we? Hallelujah. Oh, Heavenly Father, we praise you. Lord God, you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Father, if you are with us, no one can stand against us. Father, we praise your holy name. There is no name in heaven or earth that is above it. Father, we present to you today this tithe, this offering. Lord, I bless it now according to your word. Lord God, that you bring blessing into the lives of each and every believer who operates in faith in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated and super kids are dismissed. We got an escapee. By the way, have you all noticed all the aqua colors today? I'm looking around, I walked out, I was like, I grabbed his shirt, I'm like, of course. Half the church is wearing the same color today. It must just be that kind of day. Whew. Well, praise the Lord. Okay. Well, a couple weeks ago, I was churning scripture over in my heart. The Lord reminded me of an incident. We're going to look at this incident in the Bible. And I want us all to start focusing on things. First off, let's talk a little bit real quick about demons and demonic powers. You need to understand, demons require a living body. They require it to do anything. Without a body, they're just there. Their presence can be felt, but they really cannot do anything to you. I know of a particular place here in town where there is a man who has been spotted several times. It has freaked quite a few people out. This man supposedly died in the early 1900s. So there's a spirit going around. It's called a familiar spirit. Looks like him, kind of acts like him. But as I've been praying, and the spirit has even been cleansed out of the locality of where it was at, and the owner was warned of what that spirit was there to do. And I've been praying. I'm like, something's off. And the Lord, I believe, over the last couple months has been showing me more things about the demonic world because, one, we attribute things to demons that aren't demonic. That drumbeat, oh, it's just so demonic. A drumbeat cannot be demonic. Well, it makes me want to move funny. Well, you just can't dance. But, and no, I do not believe that particular beats attract demons. Demons aren't attracted to that. Can they work through music and listen through it? Oh, absolutely. That's why I warn you, when you listen to stuff, pay attention to what you're listening to. You will fill your hearts with garbage. Rap is not the only crap out there. It all has some. Now, but I've been praying about this spirit, and the Lord has been showing me some things about this spirit, because the first thing it does is it has brought fear. It strikes fear into people. There are people that will not be caught dead in this place at night. And I've told Angela, I said, there's days I wish I had keys to it so I could go there at night. I want to call this thing out. But the problem is, I do not have legal authority over that building. I would need the owner, who, by the way, is scared of it. He's not the only one in that facility. And I believe a day is coming when the devil dog gets to come out and play. Because this spirit is a spirit of fear. It brings fear into people's lives. Every person, it just brings fear. They've heard voices. They've seen an image. Heard splashing of footsteps. I heard all that when I was 6 and had no idea what a demon was. 6 years old, mom and dad aren't home. I was down in the basement playing because they just missed each other coming home from school, so I'd go to the basement and I'd play until they got home. I heard the garage door go up. I heard the back door open, and I heard steps walk all the way through the house. I came running up. There's no car in the garage. The door is still locked. I didn't think nothing about it. Okay, maybe I'm hearing things. Well, it's spirit of fear. When my parents got saved, they later realized what it was. There was many other things going on there. They cleaned house. Which I'm going to tell you right now, if you have never prayed over your home, you, go about your house. You've got some cooking oil. I don't care what kind of oil it is. It doesn't have to be olive oil. But you go around. We've done this in every house we moved into. We, just like they did with the blood, topping on the sides. And we prayed over that house. And I'm going to tell you right now, my parents to this day, until this last couple that's living in it now, they own it, are the only couple to survive their marriage. Every other couple that moved into that house divorced. I say this because sometimes there are demonic things. You need to be sensitive to the spirit as to what is really fueling the fire. Okay? But there are times it's not demonic. A demon didn't get hold of your spark plugs and start pulling your plug wires off. We like to do that. We like to cast demons out of our cars. I heard Doc Barclay talking one time. I don't remember how long he'd been saved or whatever. But he'd been around for a while in the church scene. And he was at somebody's house, and they said, "Brother, we got demons in this house." Now, his stand, and from what I was basing, was that demons don't. I'm here to tell you they do. Been there, done that, seen it. But they'd hear these poppings and these noises coming out of their basement. Anybody ever hear groanings and crap out of your basement? I lay in there in the bed one night. Yeah, I bet Ryan's first night of sleeping in the basement was like, "Okay, this ain't fun anymore." Because I'm laying in my bed in our bedroom, and Angela hadn't come to bed yet, and I'm laying there, and it's dark. Or no, she had, and I'm laying there, and I hear, "Arr." I know every sound in my house. I have no idea what this sound was. I can tell when somebody's going up and down the steps. I can tell when the garage door comes open. I can tell somebody's coming down the hallways. And no, I'm not fixing the little creaky boards. I know where they're at, but other people don't. And I'm laying there, and so instantly I'm just thinking, "Oh, dear Lord, what is the deal? What?" Because, you know, when we moved into our house, you know, it was like, okay, I'm here at 2 o'clock in the morning by myself, no curtains. I like to be kind of by myself, but not where people can see me and I can't see them. You know, and I live down the road from the place that always ends up on the county blotter for trouble. And I'm like, I don't like this. Well, one day, I don't remember when it was, we realized we went to the basement, and on our door it says 1904. And they got this alien-looking thing painted on there from 1904. It's got pointy ears, but it's wearing bib overalls. And it's got a tail. We're like, what did they see in 1904 that they would paint that on the door in this funky green paint? I still got the door. Well, you know, I never thought about it until I heard that noise. I'm laying there, I'm like, okay, Lord. Get your mind right, Art. And as I laid there, I realized my water softener had kicked on. That's all it was. Because then shortly after, I heard the water start cycling through and running through the little hose to the drain. Sometimes there are just natural things that occur that we think are spiritual. The devil will utilize them because as a child, I was overtaken by a spirit of fear. And so the devil will always try to come back at everything he possibly can at you. And just, okay, well, I'm no longer afraid of the dark. Well, we're going to elevate that. You got a family now. You got responsibilities now. Now, this is where you stand. You say, I bind those thoughts in the name of Jesus. The Bible tells us to cast down every thought and imagination. And those are just imaginations. There's a ghost in my basement. No, there ain't no ghost in my basement. Because I'm going to tell you something first and foremost. You cleanse your house. Light and darkness cannot share the same place. Period. It's a natural fact and it's a spiritual fact. Because I've talked about this other thing to somebody else before, and I said, you know, I've gone down there looking for this thing. I want to see this thing. I'm walking around whistling, because apparently they hear a whistle from time to time. So I'm walking around, hopefully not freaking anybody out down there, but I'm walking around. I want to find this thing. I'm on the hunt. It doesn't show up. But nearly every time that this other person shows up, it does. Now, this other person has found Christ, but this other person is not filled with the Spirit. See, salvation is one thing. Being filled with the Spirit is an entirely different deal. When you walk into the room, the devil pays attention to you. That's one of those, oh, no, they're awake moments. They got up today. They overcame the negativity I threw at them yesterday. Sometimes they're just natural things. Pipes. But by the way, Doc Barclay went to their basement. He said he heard it. And they're like, there it is, there it is. He went down and he said, it's your water heater. You're about to be due a new one. So sometimes we let superstitions and fears rule us. Matthew chapter 8. I'm going to read this off here because I like to. Verse 23. Now when he got into a boat, his disciples followed him. And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea so that the boat was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. But he said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. On the same day, when the evening had come, we got on to the next one. Hold that thought. Now, I want to point out something. He said he rebuked. I need you to understand something. The church has got to get this through their brain housing group. The word rebuke is a verb. It's the act of doing it. It's not doing it. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. What did you just do? I don't know. I rebuked him. You have no clue what you did. Because it's a verb. Just like love. Did you know love is a verb? It's not a thing we say to each other. We do. But did you ever notice Jesus never once said, I love you? God has never said, I love you. He showed it. He proved it. That's love. Love is not, oh, I love you, I love you. Now we say it and it's great to hear it. Don't get me wrong. But when somebody says, I love you, and they don't mean it, it's hollow, isn't it? We've all heard it. It's just a hollow, yeah, it's out of the, just because I have to. But the word rebuke means to put upon an evaluation, basically. I just evaluated you and found you out of order. So Jesus said something. He didn't say, I rebuke you. Now in Jude, we read where the angels were contending with the devil over the body of Moses. Michael, the archangel, he simply said, the Lord rebuke you. In other words, God has already found you wanting. You are already judged. He didn't have to bring accusations. The church says, well, next time the devil reminds you of your past, remind him of the future. That's unscriptural. You do not have that privilege. Because the angels didn't do that. The angels didn't bring that, but just said, you're already judged. You don't have to go into detail with the devil. All you have to say is, I'm forgiven. And focus on Christ and not the devil. So now in this case, Jesus is speaking to the wind and the rains. Now, I heard a message one time talking about this. And as I've been looking at my maps about this area, this is the Sea of Galilee. It's just an inland lake. I mean, it's by comparison by the Great Lakes, it's kind of small. But a storm rose up. This region, if you will look on a topographical map or any map that shows mountains and valleys, you will see there's a rift that runs through that part of the Middle East, through the Gulf of Aqaba, all the way through the Persian Gulf and into Africa and goes right down Africa. It's one line. How it got there, I got a few ideas. Go in Genesis and read it. But that is in that region. And anybody who knows anything about valleys and mountains or hills knows that winds move through those through them real easy. So these storms were a common thing on the Sea of Galilee because of the differences. You got cool air, hot air, and it creates problems. It's actually a scientific problem. It is not a demonic problem. There's no demons over there stirring storms. There's no. By the way, for us, you know, we read where I think David may have said it, and I know Enoch said it in some of his writings, about the storehouses of snow. There is no storehouse of snow. None. It's poetic. And we need to understand it. There are no places in heaven where God is up there shaking. Well, Ohio needs some more snow. That's ridiculous, isn't it? We know exactly what happened. We know how we get snow. We know that the earth is indeed changing. We cannot deny that. It has nothing to do with it. We didn't do it. Do you understand that? We didn't light this fire. This earth has gone through this several times. The Dark Ages, they had a mini ice age. Growing season was cut down. People starved to death. But in all of that, there's no place where rain is just held up. Or the winds. We know how wind originates now. Hot and cold pressures. I think Bob was telling us one time, they went out west on a trip, and they saw all these windmills going around. And he said he noticed at night they weren't going around. So why aren't these going around anymore? Well, the sun had gone down. When the sun's up, it creates heat, which creates pressures that creates wind. It's all a scientific thing. So this storm, in reality, was nothing more than something that was going to happen, period. But what I like about the next set of scriptures, let's go to Mark now, Carsey. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now, let me stop right there because I was evidently reading the account in Luke that said, on a certain day, a particular day, they did this. All right? Now, my last couple months on Okinawa, we had this phenomenon that happened. They're called typhoons. Every Thursday, we had a typhoon come in. Now, y'all been through hurricanes and stuff. It's just going the opposite direction. But we had one once a week on Thursday. It blew out by Sunday. Sunday evening, we could finally go get some food. There's patterns. Things are happening, and patterns start up. Where we were at, once a week during typhoon season, we would got a typhoon. I believe that's what this was. This was on a certain day, a day when they knew that the lake was susceptible to the winds. You can go up to Lake Erie. You can see off in the distance, hey, we're about to have a storm. They'd get regular. Hawaii, 15 minutes every day, like clockwork, it rains. And it stops, and it's beautiful. There are things that happen on a regular basis, and I think this was one of those storms. But this one may have had, who knows, it may have been a little hotter, it may have been a little cooler in the valley. We don't know what created the greater winds. But let's read on. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. Now, I don't know about y'all, but that's one thing I don't care for about boats. They fill up with water, too. And they didn't have bilge pumps back then. They literally had to bail them. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Notice, nowhere was there a demonic spirit. First thing Jesus did, though, is he addressed the problem. The waves weren't the problem. They were the effect. The cause was the wind. Instead, a windstorm arose. He rebuked the wind. We don't know what he said. He didn't stand up and say, "I rebuke you." Because if you read in the other accounts of this story, it said he rebuked the wind and the waves, right? Well, here, Mark is actually recording what he said. Back at up there, Carsey. I think the 35. Was it? One more. Whoop. I'm sorry. No, not 35. Let's go to 39. I forgot she can do that back here. "Peace, be still." That is the equivalent today of us going, shh, I need to point out something. He wasn't up there at screaming his head off at this either. Because just like a child, here, all you little kids, here's a veteran parent advice. When your child is screaming, screaming back doesn't help the problem. You just escalated it. Screaming at the storm isn't going to do a thing. And Jesus knew this. But I can promise you his disciples were screaming. They were screaming so that they went, hey, don't you care? They were afraid they were dying. But Jesus got up. He rebuked the wind. He hit the source of the problem. He didn't meander around. Well, let's see. What demon is making this storm happen? Spirit of fear. Maybe it's a spirit of lust. We don't know. By the time you figure out what spirit is, your boat sunk. And it wasn't just their boat. It said many other little boats. So they were in a bigger boat. And when we say bigger boat, it was probably no more than what it is to the back wall from here. So in the end, he dealt with the problem. Many times we don't want to deal with the problem. We want to run off and think we know what the problem is. Well, there's a demon behind it. A demon is not behind your car not starting. If you have fuel, if you have spark, and you have combustion, it will run. You check those three things. There are other little details you may need to check, but you've got to check those three things first. But people, I just don't have the time for it. Well, slow down and make the time and fix it, or take it to somebody who can fix it. But you got, in your life, you got to look at what's causing the problem and deal with the problem, not the effect. Well, I just want to deal with the water splashing. The water's going to sink me. The wind's not doing it. No, the water's what's causing the water to come in. The air's causing the water. And by the way, you can't put your sail up in those winds. It'll rip your sail off. It'll break it. And there you sit. And I promise you, you do not want to row a big boat anywhere. Small boat, okay. Even after a while, that gets a little old. But in the end, you got to deal with what really caused your problem. Well, Pastor, I just don't know. You know, we just don't have enough money. Well, let's see. What are we looking at here? Ding, 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 ding. Oh, wait a minute. Here's your problem. You eat out too much. Well, my wife and I don't like to cook. Well, then it's one of you got to learn how to cook. Or let's look down, sit down and look at your finances. You know, I've never actually had to do that with anybody. Well, Pastor, we might need help. Okay, well, I want to look at your finances. I want to know what you spend your money on. Well, we have a $120 cable bill. We have all these game accesses. Oh, I smoke 3 packs a day. Where do you think I'm going to go first? Your cigs? Your cable? I get it. Cell phones are cheaper than a regular phone, and today you really do need to kind of have a phone. But you see, people don't look at it like that. There's got to be a spiritual reason. I tithe. The devourer is rebuked. No, you are the devourer. You've got to stop. We would rather spend, I heard somebody tell this time, we Christians would rather spend 2 hours standing in a prayer line than take 5 minutes out of their day to change their eating habits and their exercise habits. They'd rather do that. And it takes care of the problems. And it's the truth. Yeah, Pastor, I'm short of breath. I know some of you still battling that battle, but I'm here to tell you, if you're telling me you got breathing problems, don't be like one of my ex-landlords years ago. She always rolls her eyes. Not because I'm being bad in this, but to show you the ridiculousness. This woman, the first, I should have known I was about that there was a snake. I'm going to do the message on snakes again. I should have known. As soon as somebody starts telling me how good they are in the church, I'm about to get bit in the butt. I'm going to tell you, in the end, that one got me. But this woman, I went over to pay my rent one day, and she comes out with a cigarette. She didn't smoke. Even living in North Carolina, she didn't smoke. And I said, I didn't know you smoked. Oh, no, my doctor prescribed it for me. I got breathing problems. You should have seen me the day I walked over. She had a beer in her hand. I got some bladder infection. My doctor said I need to flush my bladder. You do know water goes through you just as fast, right? Although, I'll be honest with you guys, stopping and thinking about that for just a minute, I spent all that money drinking beer just so I could go to the urinal. Because that's where it all went. It's like, oh man, got to go again. But that's how ridiculous. Instead of dealing with a real problem, she, I don't know where her doc, who her doctor was. But it might have been Dr. Seuss for all I know. She never dealt with the real problems. Here, Jesus dealt with the problem. And the thing that was the victim in the situation, he didn't call it names. He just said, be quiet, calm down. Most of the time when we elevate our voice, it's because of frustration and fear. With your children, you elevate your voice because you get frustrated. I've been there. We've all been there. You got kids. If a dog comes after you, well, sometimes your voice goes up so high that a dog can't even hear it. Because you are now silently screaming. I remember one time this woman in church who, she was known for bringing forth prophetic words. Now, I knew her when I was younger. And I knew her to be a liar. We called her a prophet-liar. Okay? And somebody said, why do you bring forth words so angrily? And she said, that's authority. I got news for you. I mean, I watched her face the whole every time she brought forth one, and it was... I thought, man, that's a war face that Arlie Ermey would be proud of. But she always brought that and brought it forth as, that's authority. That is not authority. One, that's the demon that's in you. That all these preachers that are looking for a word from God, they're just coddling it. Because I know for a fact you flipped over years ago to the prophet-lying club. I know some other members who now, by the way, hold seances. Jesus simply said, shh. The hardest thing to do is when you've got a baby that is just finally, you all been there. That baby has gone one beyond its point of going to bed, and they get loopy. They get crazy, and, you know, you, more modern term for you, some of it, they turn into Jack-Jack from The Incredibles. You know, from my generation, they become gremlins. You cannot console them. The only thing you really can do after you have loved on them, put them in their bed and let them scream it out. And go down, put your fingers in your ears. Because everything in you wants to go get them. But that's not going to help them or you, because eventually you will get frustrated. And that is how children end up hurt and dead. I read of a story where a woman had killed her baby because the baby was screaming and wouldn't be quiet. And she killed her baby. Her 10-year-old saw it. She went after the 10-year-old with a knife. And in her desperation, she had cut her wrist, but she wasn't bleeding out fast enough, so she was going to jump out the window. She died in the window. She did bleed out. Her husband was coming up in the elevator. When the police were there and wanting to know everything, they were going to blame him for it. And they figured out that she had gotten to a point of frustration with her baby. That's why I tell you, do not get frustrated. Lay them down. That screaming will not hurt them. Trust me. Got three. They all screamed. I was the oldest of five. We all screamed. We all lived. But you cannot get frustrated. You can't get frustrated in your life because you'll go after the wrong thing. You'll be up there rebuking the waves because, well, they're going to sink my boat. Never mind the fact that the wind is what's the problem. The wind dies down, the waves die down. We have got to learn to find peace and tranquility in God. Jesus was asleep during this storm. That's the greatest thing I think we need to take from that. This storm is scaring the death, or the life, I should say, out of seasoned fishermen. Jesus was a carpenter, not a sailor. And because of that, Jesus is just back here chilling. He thought this, he might have thought this is par for the course. You know, I don't know about, fortunately, because I get motion sick real easy, I don't tend to like things like that. But my only time fishing in the Atlantic, a group of us guys from church, we were going to go with the pastor and another minister, but the seas were too rough. Had a hurricane coming. And the captain of the boat we were chartering said, I'm not taking my boat out. 6-foot swells, not doing it. He said, they're only going to get bigger. We had a guy I eventually worked for later. And he said, 6-foot? He looked at us guys. He said, if you can wait 2 hours, I'll be back with my boat. Yeah, we can wait. We waited around. He shows up with his 23-foot cabin cruiser and puts it in the water. We all get on there and, yeah. I ended up curled up somewhere. Bleah. But I ain't going to lie. The best part I had was before I got sick was we were going through the breakers. And you got a 23-foot cabin cruiser comes out of the water. I'm going to tell you right now, I might as well have just jumped out of a third-story window onto concrete because that hurt. But he was having the time of his life, especially when he threw the boat in reverse. And I'm sitting back here off the back fishing. He fired the motor up, threw it in reverse real quick to change positions, and he sucked my line in. I'm sitting here. I'm like, woohoo, look, look, look. Now, just to help you all out, if that ever happens, don't do what I did. Your thumb and that reel, the reel wins. Had a nice blister on my thumb for a while. But I'm back here trying to, I'm like, man. And I heard him laughing. His name was Pat. I look around. Pat's up there laughing. I said, what are you laughing at? He says, you caught my motor. So I caught a 700-pound Evinrude. He's laughing and laughing. He's like, yeah, I guess so. Cut my line. Downside was I had the weirdest rig set up. He said, I have never seen a rig like that. I mean, I had like 3 or 4 hooks off because it was all that was left. There were guys that had never fished before, so he gave them all the easy stuff and said, here, make what you can. And I held that up there with the little fish and squid and stuff on it. And he says, I've never seen such a conglomeration. However, I caught one skate, one stingray, and a little sea bass. Boy, I thought I had the biggest sea bass on the planet coming up out of that water. He was that big. I'm like, man. But I tell you this, folks, because Jesus was asleep. He didn't lose his peace. He knew he had a mission. You need to understand, what is your mission in life? If you are in the will of God, the devil cannot kill you. I need you to understand that. Well, Pastor so-and-so died. This man of God, he was a man of faith. They got out of the will of God in something. I.e., well, let's see, Keith Green. His pilot didn't want to fly. He said, we don't need to fly. The weather's too bad. Keith Green died in a plane crash that night. David Wilkerson. He was killed in a car accident. Dottie Rambo killed in a bus accident. Why? I don't know. Maybe God didn't tell him to go there. When you get out of the will of God, the devil will try to take every opportunity to kill you. And if you've already stomped his butt a few times, don't you think he's waiting? Be in the will of God. Jesus knew this. The devil can't touch me. He can bring all the wind he wants. I personally don't see how he was asleep. I mean, the water is splashing over. If it's filling the boat, Jesus is getting wet. But he stayed asleep. They woke him up. He got up. Whatever he said to the wind. But then he turned around and just told the seas, be calm. Be quiet. Didn't scream. Didn't pace back and forth. That's all us. Sometimes I pace back and forth because I just got so, we'll call, lack of a better word, nervous energy. You just got to do something when your energy gets wound up. You got to walk. You got to do something. You got to flail. But Jesus didn't lose it. He dealt with the problem. And they got to the other side. By the way, on the other side, Jesus had a divine appointment. There was a madman. This man was out of his mind. Said the people, the area was called Decapolis, which literally means 10 cities. It was that side of it was the eastern side of the Galilee. And that man came running up to Jesus, and the demons in him spoke and said, Matt, Lord, what have we to do with you? Now, this man instilled fear in everybody. He lived in a cemetery. He was naked all the time. He would cut himself with sharp rocks. And he would scream. And you know what the religious idea was? Let's hold him in chains. That'll calm him down. No, it won't calm him down. But they didn't know how to deliver him. But the one who did was on his way across. Do I believe that the devil was trying to take advantage of a storm? Yeah, of course he would. Just like he took advantage of people not being in the will of God. Ah, you stepped out. I'm going to take the opportunity to destroy you. By the way, I didn't point out those things to point out people's sin. I don't know that they were or not. Only God does. I do know Keith Green's pilot did not want to fly that night. When it comes to planes, I'm erring to the guy who's got the license. Nothing personal. Yeah, you may have made it, but that pilot is now stressed. And he can't handle it anymore. But that man, when Jesus left, remember, this is the one that Jesus cast that legion into the hogs. The count was nearly 2,000 hogs. That's a lot of piggies. They ran off the cliff, committed suicide. And they went, the pig keepers went and told the people in the surrounding towns, and they all came out and said, please leave us. For whatever you were able to do for him scares us. Mind you, when they came back, I love this part. They found the man cleaned, clothed, and at his feet. That's what the Bible says. He was sitting at his feet, learning. Jesus got up to leave. The man wanted to go with Jesus. Jesus turned around. I want you to understand something. Well, you got to have 4 years of seminary. You got to be licensed to preach. You got to be licensed to do this. That's not Bible. That's religion. That man, Jesus turned around and said, no, go to your home. Tell them what I did for you. The Bible says that that man not only went there, but he went throughout the entire region telling people of Jesus. The man became a preacher. And I cannot remember who they believe he actually was, but he would later show up in the New Testament. Some of the other writings. He was radically changed, and he went around telling people about what God did for him. Not creating anything, he couldn't. They all knew who he was. This is that nut job that used to sit in a cemetery with chains hanging on him because he would break the chains. I'll tell you right now, first thing, if you ever come across a demon-possessed person, don't lay hands on them. You are going to get whooped. Stand your ground in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Because if you've never dealt with one, I can promise you, you're going to need to be praying because the fear is going to try to rise up in you because of every horror movie you've ever seen. My head doesn't turn that far. Oh, this is a demon. We got it. Crosses don't do anything. Silver bullets don't do anything. Holy water doesn't do anything. They don't like the name of Jesus, though. So when you've got something in your life, Jesus told us, if he said, you tell this sycamore tree to get up and go and jump in the sea, it'll do it. He said, if you tell this mountain to be moved and thrown into the sea, it will do it. I don't think God wanted us moving mountains and trees particularly. I can go around a tree. Mountains, well, you can't ever see what's way down the road if you're on the flat ground. By the way, you change topography, you change a lot of things when you move a mountain. Eliminate all the trees, guess what happens? We have dust bowls. I still think more than anything, even though he was saying you could if you needed it to, if you believe. But he's saying that mountain that's in your way, speak to it. Now, a couple weeks ago, I started telling you, be specific. Jesus was specific. He dealt with the wind and he dealt with the waves separately. Deal with things with details. A couple weeks ago, I think I said that, and then Tim said, I'd never really thought about praying with details for what I want. And Tim began praying for something in detail. Tim, what was that? His schedule. They had just moved his schedule, so he now had, what'd you have, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday off? Okay, that's what he's on currently. And he didn't like it. I honestly, once you've been on one, I kind of like what I had before. So he began praying in specific detail. What happened, Tim? They posted that job on the days he wanted. Details matter, folks. Oh, I rebuke you, wind. Or I rebuke you, waves. They're not going to go anywhere because you're not dealing with the problem. Did you ever figure that out? Why am I still in this, Lord? Because you didn't hit the heart of the problem. Find the source of the problem. Car, I command you to start in Jesus' name. Look at your gas gauge. Well, it says full. Tap on it. Anybody ever have one of them? You lying turkey. Add a little gas, boom, they fire right up, don't they? Deal with the problems. And not everything is a spiritual issue. This was literally a physical issue coming at Christ. There are spiritual issues, and they have to be dealt with spiritually. But when you have a physical issue, you have to deal with it physically. All right, let's stand. This past week, Justin got invited to partake of a missions project over in Marion, Ohio, was selected. Because out of 36,000 people that live there, nearly 22% live in abject poverty. And out of the entire country, that's one of the areas they chose. Now, it was great for us who lived locally to be able to go there or them to take them over, but what's that saying, folks? You want to look around? Well, I got to do this, this, and this. Look around. You got a neighbor that's got weeds growing up, and especially if they're elderly. Fire up your weed eater. Go over and weed eat for them. Make sure they don't have roses hiding in those weeds, though. Your good will be spoken evil of real quickly. But they got to go over and they did some things for some people. They put there's a couple roofs got put on for some people who couldn't afford to replace their roofs. And they were just about to be ruining their homes. So they've done some things. And I'm thinking maybe next year I'm going to work with it too. If I do decide that it's something God is definitely leading me to, and I think it is, I will be putting information out there, and we will just try to make our own team. Because Justin went with United Salem Methodist, or Salem United Methodist. We have some friends over there. So, and they paid for everything. They had more money in their account than they had people that could do it. And so Justin and two of his friends were able to go and partake of it. But I'm just letting you know, I think that's something God has always had on my heart to do for people. But we just didn't have the logistics and some of the other things to do it. And right now I know next year they've got one. They're planning on going to Puerto Rico. And you can get yourself all wound up. Well, they got money and they just squandered it. The people didn't do it. Crooked politicians did it. And we need to be able to pull that away and say, you know what? We can't help what crooked politicians did. But we are the body of Christ. By the way, I think I read they were in North Carolina 2 weeks ago and they were helping people in flood areas. And one day they had four people give their lives to the Lord. That's worth all of it. They had many people ministered to here. Seeds were planted. So, you never know. You never know what seed you planted that's going to come to harvest. Well, I didn't lead 10 people to the Lord in one service. Don't be moved by it. You're called to plant seed. Tell people, plant the seed. That's what you're called to do. I learned last night that a guy I met last year got saved. I remember praying for him. I can't tell you specifically that I said anything to him. But I prayed for him. And last night at the tractor pulls, they had him pray. And I'm going to tell you right now, the man started putting an invitation to people that didn't know Jesus to come to know Jesus over the PA at the Knox County Fair. And he was leading, and he was a tractor puller, and he was leading the pull until the very last one. And that guy came out with a vengeance because last year he blew his truck up trying to beat him. But I'm here to tell you, folks, you never know what seed you planted that's going to come to pass. So that is something I think I'm going to participate in. And Justin came back and asked if he could do it. I said, well, I'm not going to stop you. But I said, if you're going to Puerto Rico, I'm going with you. I don't think I can legally let you. Well, you're probably good at 14. But then they asked me if I would consider helping. So, but anyhow, always know that your abilities, your giftings, the things God gives you, they will make a place for you. You just got to be willing to share them. Amen? All right. So let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord. Father, that you are so kind and good to us. Lord, that you show us that even as our Savior, Jesus Christ, had authority over natural things that occur in this earth, so do we. Because he's the one that said, all authority I leave to you. The authority I have, you have it. So, Father, that now means us. We have authority over such things as the wind and the waves. But, Father, more than that, we have authority over those things that are causing the problems in our lives. Help us, Father, to discern the truth of what's causing the problem. Father, that it's not a person, but it sometimes is a demonic influence or a demonic person. Father, those situations, I pray that you give us wisdom in dealing with them. Father, the things that are silly that we need to just focus on, Lord, open our eyes to where the problem is, Father. Simple things such as a water leak, even. Father, I thank you and praise you that you're leading us and you're guiding us in all truth. And now, Father, we pray for those today who are unable to be here due to sickness. Father, we pray that you touch them and heal them, Lord God, right now, top of their heads to the tips of their toes. I call them healed and whole in Jesus' name. Father, we pray that your hand would be upon those who had to work. I bless them now, Father, and I thank you, Lord, that you are filling them with your joy even today. And now, Father, I thank you for these people. Lord, these wonderful, wonderful men and women of God. Father, I pray that as you go before them, that their enemies step aside. Father, that when they wake, the devil says, oh no. Father, I thank you and praise you that you're moving in their lives in Jesus' name. Amen.